out of here right now.
Amen.
To go be with the Lord. I was sitting there reminiscing about how long I've known Brother Gerald. I've known him ever since I've been in evangelism. In fact, my first meeting was over in Riverview, River City. Brother Joe Cooper was the pastor over there, and Brother Gerald was the song leader. When I pulled up in the parking lot, I was so new at everything, I didn't even know how to back up that fifth wheel trailer I had. Brother Joe had to park it for me. Then I had a little old dog named Cisco. Brother Joe tried to make me bring that dog into church and sing, so that little dog could sing, and I wouldn't do it. 51 years ago, probably, almost 52 now, that I've known Brother Gerald. He's been steady as could be. I still have cowboy boots, but my leg won't reach that. 52 years I've been preaching. Been a long time. I said 52, I guess I've known Brother Joe, not 52 years, probably 38, 39 years. We have had some great places to preach with him. I brought back fond memories when he mentioned Mount Olive. Had some wonderful times over there. Remember one night I had a blue Grand Marquis Mercury. And I pulled into the parking place that was empty there at the church and got out and went into church and got through preaching that night. Got back in my car. When I got back in my car, there was a young lady sitting in my car. I said, "You going home with me?" And she said, "What?" Her mom and daddy had a car just like mine, the same color. And I'd gotten their parking place. She just automatically got in my car. And so we've had some wonderful times together. I want to read this morning the response that the Lord made to Satan in the temptation of the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. You stand with me, please. One verse of scripture. Verse 4 of Matthew chapter 4. The Bible said, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our Father, we bow to you this morning to thank you again for the marvelous, wonderful, magnificent grace of God that reaches down and speaks to hearts and does work in our lives to bring glory to your name. Well, I pray this morning that you speak to every heart in this building. Should there be somebody here this morning that's unsaved, never known and experienced the good grace of God, I pray for deep conviction to fall on that heart. Lord, they get saved by the marvelous grace of God. But Lord, we as the children of God come together to worship you this morning in spirit and truth. Lord, I pray you might deep down in our lives, Lord, reveal us how we can draw closer to you according to thy precious word. We ask you to have your divine way then. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said that he was responding to the temptation of the devil in the wilderness when he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That is written also down in the book of Deuteronomy, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from God. I want to talk to you just for a little while on this thought, the book that we live by.
Amen.
I'm glad we have a guidebook.
Amen.
I'm glad we have a regulation book. I'm glad we have a book of enjoyment. I'm glad I read the, normally every day I read the Bible before I read the newspaper. First thing I do when I get up, plug the coffee pot in, we old fashioned, we have an old percolator. I plug it in. I'd rather have one you turn on the stove and let it perk that way, but I got an electric percolator, and when I plug it in, I go in and sit down, read my Bible before I even go out and get the newspaper. Every word of God is important.
Amen.
Absolutely everything that God has to say is for you and me to enjoy living for Him.
That's right.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about this book, the book of God. The breathed out book from God, the very breath of God. I want us to notice several things about this book that we live by. Aren't you glad, thank God, I'm talking about the old fashioned copy of the 1611 King James Bible?
Amen. Amen.
I may have told this, how my brother-in-law passed away. Phyllis' brother died last year sometime. And my sister-in-law told Phyllis, and I'm not going to ask Brother Donnie to preach the funeral. They were so close. They grew up together. They were so close. He would probably have trouble preaching the funeral. So I said, that's fine. So we got dressed and drove from Rome, Georgia, down to a little old town called Scott, Georgia, down below Dublin. Well, I'm standing in the funeral home talking to somebody. And this guy walked up to me with the Bible. He said, sir, the order of service. I said, I don't need to know the order of service. I'm not preaching the funeral. He said, you're Donnie Pollard, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. He said, you're the main preacher of the funeral. I didn't even carry my Bible with me. And I said, well, I don't think I'm preaching it. He said, yes, sir, I'm the pastor of the church. I know you're preaching the revival, preaching the sermon. Funeral service. I said, well, I didn't even bring my Bible. So he handed me his. He said, here, look over mine. And it was the same brand that I used, and I looked at it, and I handed it back to him. I said, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with this Bible. I don't think I'm capable of using this Bible. And he looked at me like as, oh, you're one of them. And I wanted to answer, yes, I am. But I didn't say a word. And I walked over there and sat down, gathered a few thoughts together, and got up and preached a funeral. There were two other preachers with me, and they preached. My brother-in-law, he lived in a little town. They only have one church in town, and that's the Southern Baptist Church. And that's where they went to church. They were Southern Baptist people. That's why he gave me that New King James Version Bible. And so when I got through preaching that morning, I walked out to the graveside, and the priest came up to me and says, I'm going to do the graveside. I said, fine. So he had prayer and we closed out. And I walked over to him and thanked him for offering to let me use his Bible. And he said to me, I don't know how you done that. I said, done what? He said, you preached to his funeral and didn't even use the Bible. I said, oh, I did use the Bible.
Amen.
I said, I had a few verses I had memorized and I just preached them. Hey, this Bible is true. Amen.
Amen.
And I thought about when I thought about what he said to me. That's why the Bible said we ought to hide the word in our heart,
that
we might not sin against God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm glad this morning to say this is the book that we live by. I want to say, first of all, it's a perfect book. Look with me in 2 Timothy 3:16. You're familiar with this verse, but look at it with me. Which is all scripture. Circle that word all. That means the ands and the ifs and the buts and everything about it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Scripture, these scriptures are God-breathed. Mm-hmm. I believe today in the verbal plenary, or maybe you say plenary, word of God. I believe in the plenary word of God. I look that word verbal up, it means word by word. Mm-hmm. I believe God breathed out every word in this book. Amen. Amen.
Right.
And when you look at that word plenary, it means full. That the full word of God is inspired. Inspiration means the breath of God breathed out from God. I believe God breathed out every word in this Bible, whether you understand it or not. 1 Samuel is just as inspired as John 3:16.
That's right, amen.
When God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, shall have everlasting life. That is just as inspired as any other verse in the Bible. Now, one of my favorite verses I like in the Bible is Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, where he said, every word of God is pure. I circle that word pure in my Bible. That word pure means free from any contamination, free from any flaws, free from any errors. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. When I look at that verse and I think about this being the God-breathed book, this is the book that we live by, I can see him as a huge shield in front of us, protecting us in every ounce of living. Isn't it wonderful to know him?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful to have him, the word of God, in our hands? Do you know what this is? This is God speaking to you and me.
That's right. Amen.
This is the breathed out word God of God from him to us. It's a perfect book. The psalm says in chapter 12, very important verses here in verse 6 and 7 of Psalms chapter 12. Notice, the words of the Lord are pure words. He uses that word pure so many times. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried by a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. That purification is complete purification. 7 is divine completeness. So it's completely purified of the Lord when he breathed out the word.
Amen.
Notice what he said in verse 7. Thou shalt keep them. Mm-hmm. Notice who he's going to keep them from. And thou shalt preserve them. From who? From this generation forever.
Amen.
The ever-present generation. May I say to you, Sonderman Publishing Company, cannot hurt the word of God. May I say to you, no other Zondervan or anybody else can touch the word of God. It's forever settled in heaven.
Amen.
I'm glad I have the word of God. I have the full truth of the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a perfect book. You hear people sometimes saying, well, there's errors in the Bible. There's no error in the Bible.
Right.
Only an idiot would say that. Only an unlearned person in the Bible would say something like that. Only a person who has heard some educated idiot say something like that.
Amen.
I'm just trying to help you this morning understand that we have in our hand the very breath of God.
Amen.
We have in our hand a perfect book.
Amen.
I'm telling you this morning, thank God I've read it. I read it through every year. We have a perfect book in our hand.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the second thing we have is a perplexing book. Now, there's 3 words I want to use talking about this perplexing book. Notice the word revelation, the word inspiration, and the word illumination. The word revelation, God can communicate to his children. I'm glad he revealed stuff. You know how you ought to start out before you read the Bible? Ask God to reveal things to you. He's the only one that can do that.
Right.
And then the word inspiration is the actual recording of God's revealed truth. I'm glad we have inspiration. I'm glad we have revelation. But the third word is illumination. That's the Holy Spirit of God giving us understanding. I was in a preacher meeting one time over in Tiftonia, Georgia, Calvary Baptist Church. And they called on a preacher that was going to get up and preach and said, "Listen, all the preachers come to the altar and pray for him as he's getting ready to preach." And I knelt down beside the preacher that was going to preach. I'm not going to call his name, but I knelt down beside him. And he was praying, "Oh God," instead of saying, "Lord, would you illuminate my mind?" He got his words mixed up and he said, "Oh God, would you illuminate my mind this morning? God, would you touch me and illuminate my mind?" I put my arm around his shoulder and I said, "God, please don't listen to him. He didn't mean elimination. He meant illumination. God, would you illuminate his mind?" When I got through praying, he smiled at me. He said, "Well, God knew what I meant." I said, "But God might have took you at your words, and I wanted to help you out a little bit." But I'm telling you, what we need is illumination. To understand the Word of God, God give us understanding of the Word. Now, if you do not have illumination, when you read the Bible, it'll just be words on paper. If you do not have illumination, the Holy Spirit of God giving you understanding, it will not mean anything to you. Oh, my, when he showered down that understanding Spirit of God in your heart, you can shout it out and holler hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I have the Bible.
Amen.
I love Bibles. Amen, preacher?
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 13 and verse 14. "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom speaketh, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," verse 14, "receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Illumination is God, the Spirit of God, helping us to understand the Word of God. We ought to want illumination, amen. You remember the two men on the Emmaus Road walking? They just received the Messiah. Now he'd been crucified. They're so tore up about it. They were on their road to Emmaus. And the Holy Spirit of God came and illuminated them. And the Bible said, Luke chapter 24, 1 verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding." For I'm telling you this morning, if somehow God would open up our understanding, there's no telling what we would be doing right now.
Amen.
Shouting it out, I'm sure. Amen. You know what's wrong with most of us? When God gives us something, we try to bottle it up. Well, let it out. Amen. Nothing wrong with old-fashioned praising God. Nothing wrong with old-fashioned shouting. Amen. I know the Bible said let everything be done decently in order, but that means that shouting is in order.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I like it. I don't know about you. I like it when it gets home. He said, "Open their understanding that they might understand" what? "The Scripture." God wants you and me who are saved by the grace of God to understand the Scripture. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things of the law." God said, "Open." You ought to have your eyes open. I'm glad God gives illumination, aren't you? So we're talking about a perfect book. Nothing like this book, amen? Which I'm not a perplexing book. Revelation. I'm glad God revealed this truth. I'm talking about inspiration, how God breathes out. I'm talking about illumination, how the Holy Ghost of God gives us understanding about the Word of God. But notice the third thing, it's a person-centered book. This book is about Jesus and Him alone.
Right.
Look in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. I said already this morning, there's no error in the scripture. This book is about Him. It has many prophecies in it. But the main theme of this Bible is Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you do not know Him, you missed it all. The whole book is telling about salvation, separation, service. It's talking about one day when the world is over, we can be with Him. This is the book of God. When I think about the book, it's all about Him. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 5. Notice in verse 39, if you would. The Bible says in verse 39, search the scriptures. What does that word search mean? Diligently seek out. Use every avenue to find out. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. So he tells us, make sure your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't let anything befuddle you. Don't let anything sidetrack you. Make sure your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
He's going to examine that. Look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The whole book is about Him. I like it, don't you?
Amen.
I like it when you're sitting in the house of God and the Word of God is being preached and somehow the Holy Ghost reaches down where you at. You forget everything around you and who's beside you, and you get centered on this perfect person's book, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a perfect book. But notice something else. It's a preeminent book. It's not the book of the week. It's not the book of the month.
Amen.
It's not the book of the year. It's the book of ages.
Amen.
Amen. I like it. It was the bestseller for years. Number one on the selling list. The Bible interpreted by the Holy Spirit is superior in authority. Nothing can hold it back. Turn to Psalm 138. A lot of verses this morning, but I'll still look at them. Look in verse 2. I will worship towards the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So it's a preeminent book. I'm glad it's for every age. I'm glad it's never outdated. Amen. Man's trying to change it, but God has it hid in heaven, and they cannot make any error to the word of God. Then it's a preserving book. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 said, but the word of the Lord endured forever. Praise God for that. And this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you. This word of God is forever. The Bible said, I told you a while ago, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall never pass away. I like Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of God shall stand forever.
Amen.
In other words, we have right here an enduring book. We have an everlasting book. We have a book that will save a soul. We have a book that keeps a soul safe.
Amen.
We have a book that's enjoined to read. Notice what he said in Psalms 119, verse 89. Forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm talking about the word of God this morning. You know why you're saved this morning? Because the word of God brought conviction on your heart.
Right.
You know why you're where you're at this morning? Because the word of God done a work in your heart. Can you remember where you was at when the Word of God first spoke to you?
Yes. Amen.
Can you remember what you were doing the very moment the Holy Spirit of God took that Word and pierced your heart and brought you down to the point where you realized you was wicked and undone and no good and low down? In fact, can you remember when you thought you were the worst person on planet Earth? There was none worse than you. That's when God does his redeeming work according to the word. When there's no way to work your way out of. When there's no rope to pull and hold on to. When there's absolutely no hope for you, you're headed to hell. The book declares to you there is a way. And that way is through Jesus Christ, the divine shed blood of the Lamb of God. I'm telling you, this book is the only hope we have.
That's right, amen.
I like it, don't you? I said it's a preserving book. And then it's a powerful book. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 63. Where he says it forever. Notice what he says. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are the spirit and they are life. This book is alive. Mm-hmm. It's a living book. I remember about a Texas preacher one time. Gonna preach on the street. Couldn't get nobody to stop and listen to him. Kept saying, in a few minutes we're gonna have a preaching service, but everybody just kept on walking away. When it comes time to preach, but nobody stopped. Had nobody stopped. Wasn't nobody wanting to hear him. So he took his Bible, went out in the middle of the road, laid his Bible down in the middle of the highway, and took his steps and hat off and placed it over that Bible. And backed off, and he said, it's alive. It's alive. It's alive. People got to watch him and say, what in the world is that nut doing? It's alive. Next thing you know, he had a big crowd and somebody else, what's alive? He ran over and picked up that Stetson hat and held that Bible up and said, the word of God.
Amen.
It's alive. Right. It's alive. Yeah. It's a living book. Amen.
Right.
I like it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. All of you know this verse. And verse 12, for the word of God is quick. Well, I like that, don't you? And powerful. And sharper. And then the two-edged sword piercing, even dividing it from the soul and spirit and joints of man and the turn of the thought and the intents of the heart. That word of God is quick. It's able to make alive. Mm-hmm. It'll quicken you. The Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for here's the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believeth, then you first and all took to the Greek. So this word is able to make alive. I like it. This book is a convincing book. It'll convince you. It's a convicting book. It'll bring your heart under conviction. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm glad this morning, thank God, we have a living book. We have a convincing book. We have a convicting book. We have a book that's really alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you're saved this morning, you ought to be rejoicing because God lets you hear the book. Amen.
Amen.
We have a book that will cleanse you. John 15, verse 3 says, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. You know what to clean your heart? good old confession at the altar of God from the Word of God. When I pastor the church, I tell all my personal workers, when somebody comes to that altar, if you come up there with memory, you bring that Bible. They don't need your intellect. They don't need your wisdom about how you memorize. What they need to do is look at that old black words on white pages and show them what God says about doing business. That's why this book will cleanse you. Nothing else can cleanse but the book. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. I don't care what anybody says, if they're quoting the Bible, it's true. The real Word of God. The book controls us. I started out by saying all scripture is given by inspiration of God in 2 Timothy 3:16. I want you to turn back to that verse and look at it. Notice what this verse is saying. All scripture is given by inspiration. Is breathed out from God and is profitable. Now, what's profitable to us? The doctrine of the Word of God. When you get doctrinally straight, no generic brand preacher can make you get sidetracked.
That's right.
Nobody off base can get you off base. I'm telling you, when you're instructed in the things of God, and you know that God has breathed out this book, you're all right. It's profitable for doctrine. You'll not be confused on the creation of man. You will not be confused on all the major doctrines of the Word of God. I was coming over this morning. I don't know who I was listening to, but he was preaching on prophecy. I thought it was pretty good, except when he got to one point, he said something. And I said, that's not according to the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
So you'll be able to detect what's right and what's wrong.
Amen. Amen.
I like the truth. Amen. He said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. But he said it's also profitable for reproof. Reproving us. You hadn't arrived, eh? For correction. Profitable for correction. Most of us human people don't like to be corrected. Amen? Be honest. You don't like for somebody to correct you. That's why parents have such a hard time with the children. Children do not like to be corrected. But it's profitable to correct them. Just as much as the Word of God is profitable when it corrects us. And we make it right with God. Then notice what he says. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. What does that mean, instruction in righteousness? Instruction in right living for the Lord.
Amen.
Instruction for walking with him. This book that we live by, first of all, it will save you. First of all, it will bring conviction on your heart and save you if you're unsaved.
Amen.
Second thing it will do, this book will also bring your heart to a cleanness point in your life, every day of your life, if you are surrendered to him. I'm glad God can do all things, aren't you?
Amen.
This book is about what we have to walk by, to live by, and to serve him by. Now, according to this book, do you know him? If you died right this minute, what would you spend eternity? I'm not talking about I hope to get there. I'm talking about does this book clarify to the very fact that you know Jesus as your Savior? If you died this moment, you spend eternity in heaven. If you do not know him, you'll not go to heaven. I do not say that you're going to spend eternity in a Christless eternity, I say you're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire, which burneth forever and ever. Mm-hmm. Which isn't a priceless eternity, but that's ripping it up. I want to make sure you understand. You're not just going to a place without Christ. You're going to a place where there's torment, where there's fire burning, and you'll not be consumed. The best thing you can do if you realize you're not a Christian, you're not saved, is to get saved by the grace of God. Let somebody Amen. Take the Bible and show you what God says about receiving Jesus in your heart and receive Him and trust Him. Then if you're saved this morning, the best thing you and I can do is make sure our life is living for the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have our life confessed up from our sins and that Him has His divine way in your heart and your life. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. This is the book that we live by, the God's breathed book. This is the book that we walk by, the God's breathed book. This is the book that we're supposed to share with people. This is the book that we live by. When we have sin in our lives, this is the book that we confess by. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, we are faithful and just to forgive us for our sins and to cleanse us from all our righteousness. They'd be a good day. They'd be a good day for you to examine our heart, search our lives, put a real searching examination in our lives, see where we stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we know we're saved, let's search our lives and see if they're counting for Christ. Father, I pray you'll take the message now, speak to every heart in this building. Lord, may the altar be filled this morning with your people. Trying to live by this book. This is the book that we have to live by. We are certainly thankful for what you do now. In Jesus' name. Amen. What was that?
515. 515.
Open your heart and your life.